many times you'll find in the teachings of Jesus that he communicates with metaphors. He is an object teacher. What he's trying to pass across is not just information. He's trying to establish the witness of what it means to have an experience. So many times he communicates by so many metaphors, and you find that in the books of the prophets and in other books in the Bible. For instance, there are times in Scripture when the Holy Spirit is captured by the metaphor river. River. That speaks about an activity of the Holy Spirit when it begins to flow in your inner membrane. And in that state where he flows, he becomes so fluid that he begins to generate thoughts in your mind. That's the experience that the Bible calls come. Let us reason together. It's an invitation to enter into the economy of the thoughts of God so that you can flow in the mind of God. As you advance and gain ascendancy in the Spirit, you need to know when he becomes a river. You need to know when he becomes a light. When he becomes a light, he quickens your spirit like a sorcerer. That kind of an experience that the Bible talks about in the book of Job chapter 8, when he says that there is a spirit in man, but the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. When he operates as light, beyond your ability to reason, he brings the search results of his activity. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit searches all things. It can search into law, search into medicine. It can search into philosophy. It can search. He searches all things and even the deep things of God. So if you have an examination to write, you don't need to read everything. Allow him to search for you. When the search results comes out, it's light. It's light. You didn't know it existed. He just searches it out and brings it to you. That's when he decides to function as light. He can take you outside of your own thinking box and get you to contemplate something that is not within the range of your thought pattern. He has decided to manifest as light. And that's why the psalmist said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So the text called the Bible is rich in communication. Such communication that only those that have an experience of God can relate to it. May the code break over your life. Amen. So that you will pass from information to understanding. Because there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. And so tonight, O Holy Spirit, we turn this meeting into your hands, and we ask that you do as you please, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. God bless you. Because we're going to have a healing service, I'm going to deviate from the lecture part a little bit. I'll deviate from the lecture part. But when we come back again, we'll continue from where we stopped. That is, if the Holy Ghost will let us. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. We need to do a refresher course before I bring the body of the night. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Jump to chapter 2. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace he has saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a good place to say amen. Paul, functioning in the capacity of an apostolic leader, got the report of the conversion of the believers in the city of Ephesus. And when he judged that their salvation was genuine, he accepted the responsibility to begin to pray for them, to begin to labor over their lives. If you study your Bible, you'll find out that there are only two times in the entire Bible where the substance of the prayer that Apostle Paul prayed was documented in the Bible. And one of those times is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, where we read. And I would like us to take a few moments to investigate the substance or the burden that was upon the heart of this man when he found out that the Ephesian believers indeed had embraced the law. This was his prayer point. The first thing that he requested before false preachers will visit the Ephesian church, before the wave of falsehood will arrive on their shores, he labored in prayer and requested that God will grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation that facilitates the knowledge that is in him. That's deep. Before I explain what he is talking about, I will need to ask us in this room, if by any means there is anyone here that has had a dream before, and when you woke up from your dream, even though you are an expert in your field, PhD holder in your area of study, you woke up from your dream and you did not know what the meaning of the dream that you had. The people whose hands are not raised, it means you are in an advanced stage. So, it means for every spiritual thing you receive, there's a download, there's a quick download system. Now, the implication of that situation I tried to draw your attention to is that you encountered, you interfaced with the spirit of revelation without the spirit of wisdom. It was the spirit of revelation that was responsible for the dream that you had. It was a mode of communication that was facilitated on a frequency that was higher than your thought life. So there is no form of mental juggernaut that you can carry out that will help bring you closer to the meaning of the communication that is trapped in those series of pictures. In fact, it is an invitation for you to labor more in the place of prayer so that the spirit of wisdom will also be activated. It is when the spirit of wisdom is activated after that you have received an encounter with the spirit of revelation that you are brought into the reality of the knowledge that comes by Christ. You see, if you will notice that in the scriptures, it is written spirit of wisdom and revelation. But in experience, it is spirit of revelation and wisdom. You see, you will not know that until you have an experience of it. That's how the Bible is. It is written with a code. Only those that have the experiential dimensions can actually tell how it works practically. For the rest of the people, it's just going to be a rhyme, a poem. But when you begin to have spiritual experiences, you will now know the protocol. You will now understand what the entire system is all about. So, this Apostle Paul is praying that God should make available to the church in Ephesus the spirit of wisdom and revelation that furnishes the knowledge that is in Christ Jesus. And it will interest you to know that the knowledge that is in Christ Jesus, that is the knowledge that Apostle Paul called the excellent knowledge. That the knowledge that is in Christ Jesus is an excellent knowledge. It is superior to engineering, the knowledge of engineering. It is superior to the knowledge of physics. It is superior to the knowledge of chemistry. As powerful as the knowledge of chemistry is, because that's what I read, it's powerful. Especially when you see organic chemistry. Oh my God, it's very powerful. But you see, Apostle Paul calls the knowledge that is sourced from Christ an excellent knowledge. A knowledge that supersedes in depth, supersedes in illumination, supersedes in empowerment. Much more than any other knowledge that you can find that is routed to the soil of the human soul. This knowledge that is in Christ Jesus, unfortunately for us, is not the kind of knowledge that you can learn. Unfortunately for us, it's not even the kind of knowledge that you can be taught. Anytime this knowledge comes, it comes from the source. It is always handed out. It comes through the outlet of what we call the knowing of revelation. I was just with a brother today. I know he's somewhere in the congregation here. He took us around Manchester. I didn't know Manchester was this big and saw high-rise buildings. The first time I came, I thought Manchester was a village because where we went to. Hallelujah. In fact, the name of the hotel that we stayed was called Village Hotel. So I concluded that it was a village. So, but we went out today and I saw skyscrapers. Oh my God, what's going on here? Amen. My eyes were almost always up there. Jesus. So he was telling me the story of how he came to Manchester, that he had a job in London. His wife had a job in London. And in the place of prayer, the Lord said, hey, the resources that I've made available for your life is in Manchester. That's how he resigned his job. His wife resigned her job. And they came over to Manchester, not knowing anybody. But many years down the road, it is clear now that God led them. That's what we call the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You are armed with this knowledge. Sometimes, in fact, it doesn't even make logical sense, this knowledge, this excellent knowledge. But you are foolish enough to apply it to your life, to walk by it. You will find results that you are not even capable of producing. And so, Apostle Paul is saying that if each and every one of us travels into that place where the economy of the knowledge of Christ is held up, and we begin to participate in the wisdom that comes through this knowledge, you have experiences with God such that even if a fake preacher comes to preach to you, he cannot sway you because you already have an experience with God. So Apostle Paul was saying that before the fakes come, may the Lord grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can be grounded in the knowledge of Him. That will become your security against every storm and against every falsehood that will come. The man that has an experience is stronger than the man that has an argument. So if God wants you to have an experience, what He does is that He makes available to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that entrenches the knowledge that is in Christ. And it will interest you to know that if you lack spiritual knowledge, you cannot be effective in spiritual warfare. When we come to teach about spiritual warfare, then we'll need to do a course, a refresher course on spiritual knowledge. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see a thing. See, there is a difference between information and experience. And Paul is saying that I want all of you to travel into the realm of experience and have your own encounters with God and prove God that God is dependable, God is reliable. We can lean on Him. Prove it. Once you have done that, falsehood will not thrive around your life. If every one of us, if there's so much truth available in the body of Christ, you will find that falsehood will die a natural death. That's why we are emphasizing prayer, because it's the entry point into experience. The dimensions of God can be explored, just like astronauts explore space. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So in this scripture, you will find Apostle Paul mentioning three basic things that there is no other way you can know about them or know them except the eyes of your understanding is enlightened. Number one. Are you following the discussion? Now, what I'm doing here is not the message. What I'm doing here is I'm educating you to bring you to a point where you can receive the message. The message is advanced. So we are doing an abridged program to connect you to the level where you can reason at that level. The moment we release the message, then we'll do practicals. The practicals will now be, first of all, a deliverance service for 15 minutes. And then a healing service for 15 minutes. Then the next 5 minutes that will be left is for the rain. It's an act of me rain in the time of the later rain. And I will make bright clouds. It's my responsibility. You don't know how to make clouds. That's what I do. I enjoy making bright clouds. And I'll pour down rain onto everyone, grass of the field. So we'll ask Him for rain. And then the rain of heaven. The same way you'll be excited when if I take my glass of water and I pour it out, there's a way you will behave. That is the same way you'll behave if that rain comes. Meanwhile, I feel that the Lord is releasing something into your life here. And when we begin, when the rain comes, I will know what it is. Okay. I will know what it is. In verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter 1, Apostle Paul says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling." Not your calling, but His calling. There is a hope, there is an expectation, there is something He wants to achieve for which He called you. Are you there? And if the eyes of your understanding is not enlightened, there is no way you can stumble on the knowledge of what he had in mind for which he called you. The hope of his calling talks about is that eternal purpose, something beyond time, that was formed and sustained in his heart as a desire. And he was restless. He wanted to accomplish that which was forged on his heart. It was a product of his counsel that was taken in himself. Alright? That it was that counsel that he took in himself, which is sustained upon his heart, that is the reason for which he called you. And there is no way you will know why he called you, or what he called you for, or what he wants to achieve, except the eyes of your understanding is enlightened. It means that you will never know the reason for your existence if you don't receive spiritual knowledge. In the book of Colossians, the Bible says that all things were made in him, all things were made by him, and in him does everything consist. That means the meaning of you can only be sourced in him. And if the eyes, it doesn't matter. Maybe you made a first class and you got honors, and you know your name, you were on BBC, waving a hand of excellence. If the eyes of your understanding is not enlightened, that recognition will become a blindfold that will even complicate your life even more. Because you will feel a sense of importance because you were recognized. But you don't know that in that state of false success, you are even more, you might even lack the humility that is needed for you to source your essence, your meaning from him who is the Christ. By him all things consist. So if I'm going to find out what I'm ordained to be, ordained to do, what I should be spending money on, I will need to find out from it. It will take spiritual knowledge for me to enter into the economy of that reality. So without spiritual knowledge, there is no way you can understand the hope he had in mind before he called you. And I assure you, if you find out from him what he called you to do, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you don't look like it. In fact, the day he tells you, you will quit, because you know you don't even have the ability to prosecute it. You will still need to depend on him to supply the grace. If you don't need grace to do it, it's not true. You have not found it. You have not found it. You have not found it. It's not intellectual. The Bible says we are able ministers of the new covenant. We have become able. Not according to the letter, but according to the Spirit. There is a Spirit supply that is responsible for our equipping, for our ability. Alright? If you don't have that Spirit supply, you will see yourself in the light of insufficiency, which is a proof that yes, that calling is valid. If you stumble on your calling and you feel you have what it takes to prosecute it, sit down. It's not your calling. It's not your calling. It's a hobby. I was born a stammerer. And when I checked, I found out that I was called to preach the gospel, to be a teacher of nations. How do you do that? Stammering. And meanwhile, I asked the angel that read it out of a scroll to me. I asked him, okay, hey, stop that. Stop that. How does a stammerer preach the gospel? That was a crime I will never commit again. Because I didn't know that some angels were so difficult to appease. He stopped reading. Then he shouted. You know how the shout sounded? Thunder. Yes. Thunder. What we call thunder was the shout of that angel. I assure you, there are powers beyond imagining in the realm And Jesus will, through his spirit, will be introducing you gradually. Because if he exposes you to some things, you will go down with Parkinson's. Gradual introduction. So that you can stand. There are dimensions of the presence of Christ that you cannot walk in. It will look as if you are dying. You are being sucked into eternity. And I've seen those things in dreams. That's what God wants to do in these last days. It will be so. Oh my God. Okay. Amen. So the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That's number one. Number two. And the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. How I wish I had time to take you to the book of, to read some verses before this verse, where the apostle begins with a salutation. Blessed be, verse 3. Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Those are riches, but the riches are domiciled in the Spirit. You see, you would not have access to... Okay, that's like... somebody help me. In Nigeria, we call it Central Bank of Nigeria. What do you call it here? Bank of England? Bank of England. There is a budget that has been set up to sponsor your destiny. Yes. And that is what the Bible is talking about in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. And it will interest you to know that the currency is stronger than the British pound. Blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ. That is the basis of our funding. But if the eyes of your understanding is not enlightened for you to see what I'm talking about, because if it doesn't come to you as a revelation, it's not yet strong enough, then you will rest in hope. And then you begin to see the resources. It was when I was shown that resource base, domiciled in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms, that I realized that God allowed me to be born a stammerer because there were resources in the Spirit that was sufficient to swallow up every symptom of stammering that was in my life. So he allowed me to be born a stammerer. Are you there? Because there is funding that can cancel out stammering. What's your greatest problem? Sister, what's your greatest? What's the? Tell me what. You need £1 million. You don't need that. That's not what you need. What? Oh my God. That thing you call your greatest challenge, your greatest impediment, your greatest limitation. Let me tell you a way out. God is not going to meet your need because you are crying. No. He will begin to meet your need because you are aligned to his kingdom. Yes, you are striving to achieve his dream. Then the things that the Gentiles seek will begin to navigate in your direction. So you are not doing anything for the Lord. You are not bothered about God's kingdom. You are just bothered about yourself and how to feed yourself and your wife and your small daughter. Then you might take a long time to survive, to surmount that lack. But the moment you align yourself to his kingdom, align yourself to begin to fulfill what he has in mind for you. Many of you are intercessors and you're not praying. And any time you get to pray, you pray about money, that breakthrough. Jesus. Now, you will pray for love until you come to a point where you grow beyond seeing self. And you begin to see that God's dream is bigger than you and your challenges and your pocket. And you make yourself available to be attending to the emphasis of God for your life.
Then he will say, okay, yeah, he needs funding so that he can be more effective. He needs funding. He needs funding. He begins to make what you need to prosecute that mission to navigate in your direction. As long as I teach this scripture, I will have what it takes to move to the next city. I have proved it for years. Do you understand? Yes, we believe in integrity. We are not doing ministry for money, even though we know money is important. Because we have faith in our God, that our God does not start a project that is not willing to fund. Yes. I've seen people come under intense pressure to release money. And you could see that they were shaking. So the Holy Spirit can go this far. Shaking. Sometimes he can molest an unbeliever. Say, hey, stand up. My servant needs to move. He needs to move. Needs to move. And the person can walk up to you and say, do you realize I hate you? I actually hate you. And you don't dress nice. But I don't know. A voice has been speaking. You don't understand. Except the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, you will not know what is the riches of his glory in the inheritance among the saints. Please help me tell your neighbor, you are adequately funded. And the third thing that you can never know except the eyes of your understanding is enlightened is, oh my God, this scripture is the most difficult scripture in the entire Bible, Ephesians 1 verse 19. I know you don't believe me. I speak as a scholar, a Bible scholar. He said the eyes of your understanding needs to be enlightened so that you can know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. You know why this is complex? You are not with me. You know why that scripture is complex? Good. Because all the major four words in the Greek that is used to connote power is in one verse. Dunamis is there. Kratos is there. Iskus is there. Exousia is there. And the verbs, there are also some verbs like megatos. We call that verse the verse of power. If I have time, I would have unraveled the scripture. It would take me like 45 minutes, and that's not good for this night. Then you would see the depth that is in that scripture. Dunamis is potential energy. Iskus is the comparative word for power. Anytime the word iskus is used, it is used to compare another form of power. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. First of all, the Bible says that she had spent her resources with physicians. And instead of her situation improving, it grew worse. Right? So she came and touched the hem of his. So there's a common ground of comparison. There's something you can compare the solution that will come from Jesus with physicians. And the Bible revealed that when she touched the hem of his garment, that virtue came out, that iskus came out. Iskus is comparative. Iskus means the power that goes beyond. That is just in case you have a measurement in terms of energy or power for witchcraft. This iskus, it goes beyond it. If you have a means of quantifying the power of divination, iskus, it goes beyond it. If you have a means of quantifying the power of necromancy, if you have a means of quantifying the power of infirmity, of sickness, this power is such power that can go beyond that limit, can go beyond that estimation.
All the four Greek words for power are domiciled in that scripture. It will take the eyes of your understanding to become enlightened, for you to perceive what energy of power is available in the realm of the spirit to drive the agenda of God. Because the power of God will always go in the direction of the purpose of God. It will always go in the direction of the will of God. Are you standing in the center of God's will for your life? Then the power of God will flow in your direction. Anything that rises up to stop you from accomplishing that which God has ordained you to accomplish, it will meet with the cutting edge of the power of God. Yes. Yes. Do you know what? When you begin to preach the kingdom, you will find that a lot of people that are in ministry for money, that are trying to manipulate people, you will find that your ministry will begin to take them off the stage. Not because you want to take them off the stage, it's just that you preach, you are loyal to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You are not looking for trouble. Right? You are just loyal to Jesus, and you know Jesus a little, and you begin to teach about Jesus and how to find Jesus and how to function with Jesus. You will just discover that what you are teaching is different from what someone else that is not pointing to Jesus as the center and the circumference, the extent and the limit of divine revelation. What you are preaching will not be the same with what the person is preaching. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And any time people come into Christ, into that environment, into that administration, under the influence of that government, anytime people find that place, their center of gravity is located, and God brings ventilation upon their heart. There is a deep sense of fulfillment that nothing else on the face of the earth can give. And if you have drank of that water of refreshing, and someone gives you stale water, bad water, fake water, you are not likely to continue drinking that, because you have tasted of the original, you will not dwell with the counterfeit. So I have seen opposition. Once upon a time, witches wrote us a letter. I said, you've been disgracing our people, casting out demons. You have depleted our numbers, and now you want to do a crusade, an open air meeting. All right, we are going to meet on the crusade ground. I received that challenge. And in fact, when we got the challenge, some of the ministers for the crusade, they eloped. They took off. And I was preaching. Unfortunately for me, I put on a white suit. A white suit. I was conspicuous. I was high there. I was up on the platform. And a known mad woman, oh, you don't know what we call mad. Do you know who a mad person is? You do? Do you know? So, you have hospitals and clinics for mad people. Now, endeavor to come to Nigeria. Make sure you... We don't have hospitals and clinics for mad people. So if somebody is really mad, the person walks on the streets and... You know, so that's it. Yeah. So I was on the platform doing my thing, preaching Jesus. And then this known violent mad woman, she just, I don't know how she made her way to the ground. And when the ushers saw her, they looked, because she's huge and violent. May the Lord give you understanding. May the Lord give you understanding. Now, so she made her way, and then since I was wearing white, I was very visible. She made her way to the pulpit area. The protocol people, I just realized. They were nowhere to be found, and I was alone there. Amen. And the only person that was bold was the cameraman. He wanted to film it. Well, I couldn't run away because I was in the face of the camera. I couldn't escape. But the next, what my mind told me was to drop the mic and flee. I said, okay, how will he appear in the camera?
While I was still thinking about what to do, I heard, pop! That means she has given me the first blow, you know. Do you know those cartoons that people see stars? Those, it's real. It's experience. And the cameraman was taking full documentary arrangement. So I found courage. I found courage in the Lord. And I began to pray in tongues. 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 Then a certain word came out of my spirit. A certain tongue came out of my spirit. And when that tongue came out, I noticed it began to manifest. The power of God fell upon her. She began to scream. I said, oh, it's working. Then I converted the tongues and spoke in capital letters. Then she fell off and slept off. So the ushers now, I saw them coming back one. The protocol people came alive and there were. At the end of the meeting, we went to check her. She was still unconscious. She woke up after like 1 hour in her right mind. She wasn't mad enough. You see, the power of God flows in the direction of the will of God. I was doing the will of God, so there was power to back me up. Yes, so if you are in the center of God's will and something wants to come against you, the power of God will be available to meet with that opposition. The Bible speaks about the exceeding greatness. The word, oh my God. The word exceeding is hopabolo. I don't have time. Okay, let me run away. Don't worry. We'll do that later. Maybe some other time as God gives us the permission. But I encourage you to go and research Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. Is there the eyes of your understanding? It's not enlightened. You will not understand the economy of power. It's the same power that reached into hell and raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the same power that was responsible for rapturing Jesus and taking him into the heavens. It's the same power that was responsible for making him sit at the right hand of God in heavenly places. Are you there? Now, what I'm trying to teach tonight is authoritative prayer. Whereas normal prayer is from earth to heaven. Are you there? Authoritative prayer is from heaven to earth. In order for you to pray authoritative prayer, you must see yourself where you are seated in the heavenlies. You will need new eyes and new lenses to see yourself seated in the heavenly realms. It is the power of God that was responsible for transporting Jesus from the earth into the heavens. And it was the power of God that was responsible in placing him on that administrative position where he sits today in the capacity of the Christ. Are you with me? Are you there? Then that is the next chapter, which is chapter 2, now reveals that God showed his mercy to us even when we were dead in trespasses, and then he raised us, that same power, and transported us into the heavenlies. And today we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, the same position, far above principalities and powers. So the place of our reality is heaven. Now, when we train people for the deliverance ministry, this is how one of the lessons we teach them about authority, the exercise of authority. And those of us that, you know, there is a lot of witchcraft in your city, this Manchester. But many of you are not aware of it because it's hidden. Most of the time, it's not yet very visible. But there's a lot of it taking place. And I speak as a watchman, a simple watchman, that has a gift from God to discern territory. On the continent of Africa, witchcraft is more visible. Alright? And because witchcraft is more visible, you are going to encounter it very easily as you march towards the journey of actualization. Are you there? So we teach people how to operate in the deliverance ministry. And part of what we teach is that the person that is held up under the influence of the power of darkness has a reality. Just like your own reality is domiciled in the heavenlies. Are you with me? You're not with me. Your reality, you are in Manchester, but your reality is domiciled in the heavenlies, far above principalities and powers. That's where your reality is. And it will interest you to know that the extent of authority you can exercise is dependent on the height in the heavens from whence you operate. So if you are higher in the heavens than principalities and powers, it is expected that your authority will have the same signature. Okay? Now, part of the evidence to show that your authority is recognized is that you can speak into the reality that has bound the person. And that reality will recognize your authority that it is from. So if, for any reason, your authority is not recognized, it is not because your reality changed. It's because you violated that reality in your daily conduct. And that's why the demonic realm doesn't seem to recognize what you have as authority. You can give a command, but it will not come to pass. You know, Jesus was educating his disciples, and they asked him a question. Why could we not cast him out? Because when Jesus eventually came and cast the demon out, it was exactly what they said that Jesus said. So they were not wrong in terms of the words they used. It was just that their authority was not recognized. Why could we not? You didn't do anything that we didn't do. But the results you are getting is different from the results we got. And it will interest you to know that we tried for a long time. So if more time would have changed it, we gave time. But it's obvious we didn't need more time. Because our attempts translated to weariness of the flesh. And when you came, you didn't sweat. You just said, "Be gone." Ah! So why could we not what? Jesus was operating from somewhere. And his artwork, his conduct, his manner of life was consistent with his reality. So I need to explain something quickly. That your nationality, please help me preach to your neighbor, your nationality, your reality is in heaven. You are on earth as an ambassador. Is that clear? Now, so in exercising your authority or in engaging authoritative prayer, and the reason for authoritative prayer is to put the devil in check just in case he has trespassed. You know, law enforcement agents, police, and someone breaks the law, you will not even know that. I was just strolling around in Manchester today. I didn't know that. I didn't see any policeman. So I now told my friend, "Hey, you guys don't have police." He said, "Do anything here and you will." Try anything here and nobody will ask questions. You will end up in a terrible place. Now, we are law enforcement agents. So anytime you see the devil breaking the rules, you use authoritative prayer to put him back in line. You know, what I'm teaching here has practicals. Because the kingdom of God is not in word. So let's go to the book of Mark chapter 4. I will give us a scenario where Jesus manifested authoritative prayer And then we will take a moment and do the same here. And anything you see us do in prayer storm, go home and do likewise. Yes. That's the idea. So we do the theoretical part so that you see that it's adequately established in Scripture. Because anything that doesn't have its root in Scripture is false. The Holy Spirit will never back it up. The Spirit of God will never violate the logos that is established in black and white. Never. Is that clear? So we must establish what we are talking about in Scripture. And then we go into the practical so that you can see how it looks like. Then you go and try your hands and have an experience. And when you try your hands, don't just try once and say, I tried. No. This is what you should be doing all your life. Because Satan doesn't play according to the rules. He will show up. Be ready for it. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, quickly. So this is the real text for the night. What we did was just a refresher course to upgrade us so that we can flow with the lecture. And the same day, Mark 4:35, please. Mark 4:35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? I don't know if we'll get to this point. How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? In order for us to adequately interpret this scripture, I would like us to understand, we cannot interpret this except we go to the book of Mark chapter 5. And I need to tell you what is in Mark chapter 5. That other side that Jesus was saying he wanted him and his disciples to go to was the land of the Gadarenes. How many of you remember the Gadarenes? That's where the immigration officer that will check you into the territory has his abode in the tomb. The most comfortable place for the immigration officer you will meet in the Gadarenes. Huh? He rises from the tomb to stamp your passport. The moment Jesus decided that, all right, we are going to the other side, they picked the signal there on their radar that Jesus was coming. It was from the Gadarenes that this strange tsunami, this tempest, Hurricane Rita, was sent from the Gadarenes. So you see, the situation had gone into the realm of the supernatural. Because there were master fishermen like Peter in that boat. And for Peter to have as much experience as he had, he must have conquered storms before. He must have conquered waves before. And for Peter to cry out, perish not thou! That we perish. He had seen something that the pedal could not handle. He has seen something that the maneuvering could not handle. It was beyond his experience, beyond his learning. And we were never told that Jesus steered a boat. The personality he was running to for backup had nothing to do with fishing. The guys had concluded that this thing is supernatural. And even though Jesus was exhausted and tired, and the Bible says he slept on the pillow. I understand that sleep. After 3 days of crusading, and casting out devils to 12 p.m. in the night when you sleep. A robber can steal everything, including yourself. And you will not know. So he was fagged out. And the pillow was succulent enough to aid his transport in the realm of sleep. And the fishermen that knew the waves were overwhelmed. And they had to reach back to a non-fisherman that had a capacity beyond the natural. And the moment he rises up, I was expecting him to speak in tongues, as many of us will do. He connected with his reality. And he said, what? Peace. Be still. And the Bible says that immediately, that means the demons heard it, and they were brought under check. Immediately there was a great calm. Then guess what Jesus says? Why are you afraid? Where is your faith? Then he went back to his pillow. If you are saying tonight concerning the fact that your sitting position in your realm of reality is that you are seated in the heavenly place, do you believe this? Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. I want to preach. Oh, the best of God's grace I've seen in my life is not on camera. It's not on tape. There's no picture, no video. Went for a crusade in the community. And we're too early because those guys are farmers. So when we showed up, they were on their farm. So we had to wait for them. And it was taking so much time. So I asked our tall guy, who is around? Because there's nobody around. I said, it's only the chief priest that will be around this time because the rest have gone to the farm. The chief priest is around? I said, let's visit him. He said, what? I said, yeah, let's visit the chief priest. It's a costly call. You can go and greet him. So we decided to visit the chief priest. So my interpreter was way at the back. I said, no, don't worry. It's on me. Don't worry. So when they, you know, said, who are you? I said, oh, we come in peace. Amen. He said, because he was singing when we approached. And that song is not the type that the music team just sang now. It has no, the tunes are outlawed and they don't synchronize. Has no respect for the time signature or the octave. The kind of melody that he sings when the spirits have accepted the sacrifice. So he sings to them and they dance because he's initiated, he has the eyes to see them and to hear them. So he noticed that when we were coming closer to the shrine, the demons left. That's why he asked us, who are you? You know, and he shouted so that if you don't know, if you don't have faith. Hallelujah. So that's the first test. Satan will always use the tool of intimidation to see if you really know who you are. So when he shouted, I said, oh, we come in peace. It's you we came to see. Ah. Then he kept quiet. Then he frowned. That's another intimidation. The things that support you have escaped. You by yourself, you are old. You need our help. So I was also praying in the spirit and trying to get something from the Holy Ghost. And then he told me that, talk about the chest pain. That is, it's been having chest pain for 13 years. I said, oh, you serve these idols, these spirits. And for 13 years, they have not been able to heal you of your chest pain. Said, oh. Come, take a seat. You have earned a seat in the shrine. Then I opened the scriptures. to that thing that Simeon said when he came into the temple to meet Jesus on the day of his dedication. That this child is for the rise and the fall of many in Israel. And he shall be a sign that many shall speak against. So I began to tell him about men that will rise because of Jesus and men that will fall because of Jesus. Let us now, thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Then I began to tell him about the light that was designed to lighten the Gentiles from their idols, from their demons. After a while, he broke down and he knelt down, and we led him to Jesus. Before we led him to Jesus, 9 other old men, you know, in those villages, they have a council. Alright? So 9 other old men joined us. I began to preach with more fire. We led them to Christ. 10 of them. In fact, I asked them to kneel down first. Like, kneel down before Jesus. I was 36 years old then. And the man was 100 years old at the time I preached to him. So when we led those guys to Christ, the witches in the village were not aware that we had shut down their power station. When we came for the crusade, people were singing praise and worship to Jesus. Just singing. And crippled people began to walk. One crippled person stood up. Second crippled person stood up. The third. And when the witches saw that the people that they've chained are walking, they took off from the crusade ground. We left our Bible on the pulpit and we chased them. I can't understand. To the highway! We were on the highway! The moment they knew that we had authority that came from above, there was no need to fight. If the day you are full of the consciousness that you have been empowered from above, Satan will reduce his attacks on your life. He will need to go to his laboratory and plan for you with your specification and form weapons against you before he comes to try you. He will not just try you carelessly. Today, we are praying from heaven to earth. Prayers of decrees and commands. And when we do that, things will begin to shift in the realm of the spirit. And when it begins to shift in the realm of the spirit, it will begin to shift also in this room. When you utilize authority, it means you are functioning in the capacity of a law enforcement agent. You will displace illegalities in the spirit, and there will be physical manifestations. In a moment of time, we are going to climb. Now, as we climb, are you there? As we climb, we'll climb to a point, and when we get to that point, I'm going to give a command. When I give this command, chains will begin to break. All right? Please, I need to explain what is going to happen here so that someone doesn't run out of the room. The Holy Spirit, his move can be violent sometimes. Because I'm seeing you guys in this room are so cool, calm, collected, looking so fine. What is coming into the room is going to affect your decorum. It's normal, okay? Just the Holy Ghost works like that. All right, so we'll displace some things in the spirit and there'll be displacement in the natural. When you notice somebody by your side is maybe falling off, don't worry, we're in Jesus' clinic. Some people fall in his clinic and all kinds of good things happen to them when they're on the floor, okay? So those kind of things are likely to happen. Then when we do this, we will now move to the healing service. I will allow you to switch on your phone and make a call. people that are sick, your relatives, your friends, anywhere they may be in the world, and we'll release a command. And then people here will be healed. Others elsewhere will also be healed. And for those that have eye issues, Jesus spoke to me in the place of prayer. He said he will heal eyes, okay? He will heal eyes tonight in the name of Jesus. So take your most comfortable spot. Whether you stand or sit is not, is immaterial. Just make sure that your spirit is connected and we'll just glide. We'll glide for 5 minutes, and when we get to that place, I will give a command and we'll cast out some devils, some limiting factors, limiting spirits. We'll just cast them out, and anything that is tied will be loosed. Anything that is bound will be made free. So we'll begin to gain ascendancy by speaking in tongues, just speaking in tongues. Forget about your neighbor. Be all about yourself right now as we gain ascendancy in the spirit. We are praying from heaven. We shall pray from heaven to earth. But we are climbing in the spirit. And those of us that are participating online, don't miss this moment. There's a mighty presence here, and God will be coming your way in Los Angeles, in Lagos, in Lusaka, in Nairobi. He'll be coming to you. He'll be coming with fire, coming with power. Gain ascendancy as we climb. We climb to the hill of Zion. We climb. We climb by the Holy Ghost. He gives you wings to mount up. He gives you wings to climb in the spirit. He gives you wings. He gives you wings. I saw Feli Mande Cobros get a monde. Presco Fila Masada. A presco Vilamina Sikopre. Bahaso Sombe Labigadati. Seminai for Bendo Poboro. Is Covedendo. Presco Fita Babona Seli. A Rai Compamina Sedo Bonde. Presco Copeca Basto. Can you mount up? Can you mount up in the moment of time? We are going to the heights of the heavenlies. We are going to where the coals of fire is domiciled. We are reaching into the altar in heaven.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. All right, we are there now. Listen. We have 27 minutes. If you are myopic, use glasses to read. There is a case of astigmatism, glaucoma. Anything that has to do with the eyes, take off your glasses. Lay your hands on your eyes. By the angel of God, we're coming to this place this night. Is there anybody deaf in this place who use hearing aid? Take away the hearing aid quickly. Put this your finger in the ear that cannot hear and leave it there. Do you have any sick person that is not in this room? Take up your phone. Call the person. Keep your phone running while I pray. You have pains on your legs. Is there anyone that uses a cane to walk? A walking aid. Lay your hands on those legs. And for those of you online, it's your moment, it's your time. Any growth on your body, cancer, fibroid, tumor, put your hand where the growth is, right now. Jesus, say a big amen. In the name of Jesus. 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 Father, tonight I bind every spirit of infirmity, every blinding spirit, every deafening spirit. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I destroy your hold in the name of Jesus. Let your yoke be broken right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke every tumor, every growth, every cancer. I say die in the name of Jesus. Die in the name of Jesus. Dry up in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every pain. Every pain on the spinal cord, I rebuke you. Every pain on the lungs, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let the yoke be removed from your body. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every migraine, every pain on the knee, on the ankle, every pain on the waist. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke every difficulty to breathe. I command that breathing condition to come to an end in the name of Jesus. I say to every yoke, be broken in Jesus' name. Let every chain be destroyed. Let every affliction be destroyed. Let every infirmity be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Satan, come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. Come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. I command the pains to go in the name of Jesus. Those that are participating online, be healed in Jesus' name. Those that are connected through the cell phone, I send the healing power of God your way tonight in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to the eyes. I see in Jesus' name. I speak to the ears. Ears hear in Jesus' name. I speak to the pain. Go in the name of Jesus. I release the healing anointing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the yoke break in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now listen to me. Okay, let's go with that song. Just one. Test your eyes now. Test your hearing now. Check your body for the pain. You can check it now. You can check it now. Try to read with your eyes. Look for the tumor. Look for the fibroid. Talk to the people you called on the phone. Ask them about their condition. Now, if you notice there is a change in your vision, there is a change in your hearing, you stand this way. I'll take like 4 or 5 testimonies. If there is a change in your vision, a change in your hearing, the pain has gone, you can walk, you come this way, my left hand side so that we can take your testimony. Yeah, we'll go with that song twice. Yeah. Yeah. Why do you check your body? You check your body. Yeah. 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 Now listen, listen. I see in the spirit. So when you check your body and you confirm a miracle, this is where you will come, okay? But while we wait for them to come, I see in the spirit. I see a spirit from the water. I see it rising from the water. And I've seen it like twice now. There is somebody here, the spirit that is troubling you is from the water. Now, we are going to arrest that spirit right now. Can you stop praying so that I can give a command, please? Just stop praying. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that individual in this place, in this congregation, that has been oppressed by spirit sent from the water. So bring her to me. From my left hand side to my right hand side, Lord, there may be more than one person. So I ask that you set this auditorium from my left hand side to my right hand side, to the back of the hall. Anyone that is being oppressed by a spirit from the water, let that spirit be arrested this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bring that lady. I saw the spirit. Saw it from the water rising up. So now I destroy the power of the devil that has been tormenting your life. I command the yoke to break. You spirit of darkness from the water. I have seen you. I destroy your yoke. That mark that you placed upon her, I raise it. I disconnect her soul from you. Listen to me. Somebody is in this place, you don't even know that you were initiated when you were, you were initiated into witchcraft when you were a child. And you are not aware of it. But you have experienced serious resistance. Even if when you want to begin to move in prayer, you get serious in prayer, you experience serious resistance. When you pray, you get seriously attacked. And I can even see that once upon a time, after a long prayer, you went to sleep and woke up with marks on your body. Physical marks on your body. If what I'm saying sounds like you, you can come. You woke up after a long prayer, you had marks, physical marks on your body. You woke up after a long prayer, you had physical marks. You had a mark on your body. I'm waiting for that individual. It's an emergency. And we need to treat that case right now. We need to treat that case. You woke up and you had a mark on your body. Now, can you interview him, please? Who is with the microphone? Now, someone help me with that lady. That lady shouting. Lady. What? Please, let's listen to him. Tell us what happened.
I don't know where to start.
Don't make it long.
Long story short.
Okay.
I went to sleep. I woke up. I had three.
Okay. Wait. The powers are up there. They're reacting. Lord, let the yoke break! The powers are reacting. Break! Break! say, break in the name of Jesus.
I'm still looking for one person. That's number one, but I'm still looking for another person.
Father, in the name of Jesus, anywhere that individual is, let your anointing fall on that one. Fall.
Of Elijah.
Come out of that individual. Come out.
Come out.
Hey, oh.
I'm seeing two people that have been healed on their eyes still hiding in the congregation. Two people. Healed on the eyes. Hiding in the congregation. You have 2 minutes to conduct your check and to confirm it. Now, we need ushers. Oh my God. I have 11 minutes. Can you bring those people? Let's help them. Let's help them. We need to help them now. Quickly. We have 11 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Give way.
I command the chains to break in the name of Jesus. Give way in Jesus' name.
Give way. There are two people before we take testimonies. Two of you, the healing anointing will come upon you, and from this meeting, you begin to pray for the sick, and you'll see results. Two people to come on you in the next 7 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And I beheld in the spirit. I see, oh my God, two angels standing. They're standing beside the lady in this auditorium. And in the next 7 seconds, you will feel the fire. You will feel the heat. They came with fire. They came with heat. And it's coming upon you. It's coming upon you. It's coming upon you. Holy Ghost. You will never remain the same again. Grace is poured into your vessel. All right, so you can take a testimony. Grace is poured upon you. In Jesus' name. Now you need to help me. Who are you? Listen. Those of you here, all of you here. I'm looking for 3 of you. So can you stretch your hand in the direction of my hand? Here. 3 of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, those 3 individuals that you are talking about, help me find them. 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 Holy Ghost! Yeah, what happened to her?
She has been...
There's no volume on your microphone.
She has been...
There's no volume.
She has been short-sighted for a while now.
How many? Not a while. For how long?
2019.
2009.
And she can see the features on people's faces.
She can't see the features on people's faces.
But now she can see the features on your face.
She can see the features on my face. Can we celebrate? Come.
She's been short-sighted for 12 years. She's one of our volunteers from America. She's been wearing glasses for 2 days, but now she can see clearly.
It's my friend. She's my friend. You can see. You can see from the back. Oh, my God. Glory to God. Lord, we give you... Somebody needs to shout hallelujah. Come. We say it is permanent in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how we can handle what I'm seeing here. Someone has attempted a certain thing 3 times and failed. And I've seen what is stopping you from crossing that hurdle. And I say to you tonight, go and try again.
Yes. This gentleman right here has been short-sighted for 1 year.
Short-sighted for 1 year.
He can't read his Bible closely, but now he's just tried it and he can read it.
Okay, he can read his Bible now. Come. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you for this miracle. We seal it with the blood of Jesus. We name it permanent. In Jesus' name. Guess what happened there?
Her eyes has been blinking uncontrollably for 4 years.
For 4 years.
But now it has stopped.
It has stopped. Come, come. Yeah, it's permanent. Your victory is permanent. Oh my God. If someone got healed on the phone, please find out from the people you call. Someone, I see a phone miracle. I see it. Contact them, contact them. Yes? What's happening?
For 2 years now, she's not been able to sleep properly.
For
but while you were praying, something happened on her face, now she can see.
Something happened on her face, now she can see. It is permanent in the name of Jesus. Yes?
She was not being able to see clearly. She wouldn't see your face from the back. But now she can see after 2 years.
She can see after 2 years. Permanent. In the name of Jesus.
She had the pain behind the knee, but now it's gone now.
Pain behind your knee is gone now. Now, there's someone. Someone is healed. A pain close to your spinal cord, a pain on the back, terrible pain, and you are healed. Where is that person? I want to see that person. Now, those people, come. Quick. The Lord sent me to you, and that's the sign He gave me. Oh my God, my child. Okay, at least you are here. You are here. Of Jesus Christ, I ask, oh God, that you stretch forth your hand. The one you spoke to me about that is going to be enveloped with your presence. That one that you will heal on the back and then you will envelope with your presence. I ask, oh God, that your mighty hand might descend upon that life. Descend upon that one. In the name of Jesus, let your presence envelope that individual. Let your presence envelope that individual. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let your presence envelope that individual. In the name of Jesus Christ. He's coming. His hand is coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Let your presence. Oh my God. It's coming stronger. I sense the presence. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. Let your presence envelope. 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 In the name of Jesus. Envelope in the name of Jesus. From the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. Envelope. 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 In the name of Jesus. Yes, there's a fire you're going to go with. This fire that you're going to go with is going to last. It's going to last. God is going to use you to begin to influence many other people. His hand will be strong on your life. Grace is given unto you. Grace is given unto you. Grace is given unto you. There are 7 people in the hall. 7 intercessors. The Lord is anointing you so that your rank in the spirit can increase. The anointing will come upon you in the next 25 seconds. In the next 25 seconds, there are 7 of them. 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 Holy Ghost. 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 Move. Transactions are taking place. God has stretched forth hand. He has stretched forth his hand. He has stretched forth his hand.
Short-sighted.
I don't know how that works. But she has glaucoma too. And she's been making her way by this, one of these. And the Lord decided to show mercy. Oh my God. Can you stretch your hand in a direction? We unpack everything that Satan has done in your life. I speak life to you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. The hand of the Holy Ghost comes strong upon your life. And if there be any other infirmity, any other sickness, we send it out of your body in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I see a trumpet. There is a trumpet I see in the spirit. And anytime I see this trumpet, someone is about to prophesy. The spirit of prophecy is here. I see it. It will intensify. 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 Yeah. Yes. Yes. The spirit of prophecy is bearing witness. It's bearing witness. The trumpet sounds. It's bearing witness. Woo. There is a grace and anointing I see in the spirit. The anointing of the seer, such that when you pray, God will give you the grace to see what He's doing in the realm of the spirit. And this anointing will begin to come upon people. It will begin to come down. It will come with intensity. It will come with intensity. It will come with intensity. Grace will be released. Grace will be released. Grace. You will no longer be blind in the spirit. Yeah. Come. You will no longer be blind in the spirit. I release grace. Grace upon your life in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight we ask that the gates of the supernatural will be open to every one of us as we leave this conference. We will never be the same again in the name of Jesus. Can you raise a cry for Manchester and say, Manchester, receive your Lord. The Lord Jesus comes to you. Receive Him. Receive Him. Fall on your knees before Him. Oh Manchester, fall on your knees before the King of Lords. It comes to you. It comes with fire in His eyes. It comes with fire, with flames in His eyes. Fall on your knees, Manchester. Return with glory, return with power, return with your splendor into the city of Manchester. Depart, if the king has planted your way, come here and rule, come here and reign.
Thank you.
Father, we pray over the pastors, the ministers in this region. I know there's some pastors who've come in here from different parts of the UK and even other nations. I don't know if there are any ministry leaders and pastors here. Just put your hand up. Pastors and ministry leaders, we're going to pray that what the Lord is doing here causes there to be a shift, that He exalts your horn like a unicorn and anoints your head with fresh oil. So Father, we say, Lord, fresh oil to dismantle the yokes of darkness, to usher in a revival in prayer, to see a shift in the region, not just even Manchester, but the regions represented on this, at this gathering, those watching online, that there will be a shift, Lord. We prepare the way for the move of your Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're going to officially bring the meeting to close, but I want to release this instruction before we do that. Because I know many of you have come from different places, and in meetings like this, there's such a stirring, a hunger for the supernatural. I want to say to you, keep playing, don't stop. You have to be planted in a community of believers and be accountable. Some of you here, you go from place to place to place, and you receive something, but there is no community. You're not accountable. There's no context for God to see that thing that's placing you mature, because you're not submitting yourself to God's process. And as we gather like this, God can light a fire, but that fire requires maintenance. It's easy to catch fire, but maintaining it is another thing. And I want to encourage you, even as you leave this gathering, those of you watching online, be planted in a community of believers. Be accountable. Be committed. Serve. I've got one amen in the front. And some of you are like, who is this guy? Well, you came to Prayerstorm, so I'm going to tell you what we believe here. Prayerstorm is not a church like a local church. We gather the church together and we want to see the church arise. So we're supporting local pastors. We're supporting people who are called of God to shepherd the body of Christ. We're not here to steal people. Yeah, I got an amen from a pastor over there. Yes. We're here to see the body equipped. So when you come to meetings like this, don't just go to your church and criticize your pastor. Go there and serve. Did you hear what I said? Go and serve. Don't go and say, oh, you guys are not praying. You don't know anything about praying. You're rubbish. No. Because the pastor, how can we help the prayer meeting move to a new level in the church? Are you with me? Some of you, you come to these meetings and there needs to be a reconnection, reigniting of your heart in your relationship with Jesus. You've heard all these messages. And actually, you need to make a commitment today that, Lord, my relationship with you is shifting tonight. If that's you, you've never made a commitment to Jesus before, and you want to make a public declaration saying, Jesus, I've been to this meeting, I've seen your power, I've been touched by the message, and I want to say yes to you. That's one. Or you've been far away from Jesus. You used to be saved, you used to be connected, and you went into your own lifestyle, and you've come here and you feel convicted, and you sense the Lord calling you back. I'm not going to ask everyone to close their eyes. I'm going to ask everyone to open their eyes. And you're going to lift your hand and make a public declaration, because your faith is not private. Even as you put your hand up, give them a massive round of applause. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to do one more bold step. I want you to come forward right here. Come on, give them a massive round of applause. You're making a declaration today. Jesus, I am all in. I'm not one leg in the world, one leg in the church. It's okay, come forward. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to bite you. Come on, let's celebrate them right now.
I feel there's probably a few more people who are scared to come. Listen, we're celebrating. Look at this young boy right here. Come on, keep coming. You're saying yes to Jesus. Listen, it's a public declaration of faith. It's a shift, it's a moment of significance. Come on, keep celebrating then. Come on. I know the meeting is gone past the time. It's okay. This is very important. We're going to pray with you and we're going to hand you over to our ministry team and they can counsel, pray with you some more. Do we have those cards and things around? We get them? We don't get them right now. When we take them out, yeah, you can get them ready though. Can you stretch your hands in their direction? Just pray over them right now. And as you're here, you, in your own words, surrender your heart to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I don't want to leave here the same way I came. Let this moment be a defining moment in my life. Pray those sort of prayers. Jesus, I turn away from my compromise. Maybe there's a relationship you need to break off right now. Say, Lord, I turn away from that. I turn away from the idols. And I'm saying yes to you, Jesus. Yes to you, Jesus. Come on, church, pray over them. Father, this moment, let it mark a shift in their lives forever as they say yes to you. Yes to you. Hallelujah. And what we're going to do, we're all going to pray together with them a prayer of declaration. It's a starting point. And I'm going to hand you over to Pastor Paul. Maybe we can take, I don't know what rooms we have prepared here. No, okay. There's a room at the back over there. Is there sound? Anyway, we'll sort it out. Can you just stretch your hands in their direction and repeat after and say, Heavenly Father, come on, church. Say it with them. And you guys, I want you to say it loud, boldly. Say, Heavenly Father. Say, Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. Today, I make a public declaration of faith in Jesus. I turn away from my sin. I turn away from compromise. I break off every agreement I have had with the enemy, with the devil, knowingly or unknowingly. I bring myself into the covering of the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. As I renounce sin, I renounce compromise, I renounce darkness in all its manifestations. And Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come on, say, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my relationships to you. I surrender my whole being to you. Now declare this with all your might. Say, I am yours. I am yours. Have your way in me. And let this mark a new beginning in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Come on, let's give God praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, our pastor here, Pastor Paul, just follow him and Matt right behind you. They will take you somewhere to probably pray with you some more. So if you don't mind, just go in this direction right here with Pastor Paul. You can use Pastor Paul, you can use the room at the back as well. Yes, that way. Come on, let's give God some praise. I want to thank you for being a part of this. Can we give a massive round of applause to our production team? Theo, all the way from Sheffield, our sound engineer. Miles, Hazel, Joel, who has been on the switching at the back. I want to thank John, who is mixing sound for our online audience. Listen, it takes a lot of work to do this. Let's give them a massive round of applause. Thank you, thank you. Can we thank our amazing band, our musicians, our singers, our drummers, all these guys that have done an incredible, incredible job and sacrifice. All us. Can we thank our prayer leaders, Matt, Anna, Fatmon, amazing.
Thank you, thank you. Actually, can we thank our cameraman as well? Last of all, can we give a massive thank you to Jesus? Hey!